We're going to be talking about fasting for God's glory and God's power in our lives. And maybe you've never heard a message about fasting before, but it's an important, important message. So we're going to start off reading Matthew chapter 6, verse 16. So if you'll stand, we'll honor God's word, and together we'll learn about fasting. Jesus said, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." Father, we're not in this for the reward. We're in this to seek your face. Father, show us your truths about fasting and prayer, that we might become a people that have power with God and power with man. And Father, we'll give you the praise today in Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. In our nation, we love food. I love food. I just got to tell you. We even name our cities after food. Do you know there's two eggs, Florida? There is bacon, Delaware. There's a town in Texas named Pancake, Texas. There's even a town in North Carolina named Toast, North Carolina. And there's Jelly, California. If you put those all together, you got breakfast, don't you? We're in good shape. You got yourself a breakfast right there. For most of us, food is not just an interest, it's a passion. We love to eat. We live to eat rather than eat to live for most of us. We spend countless hours every day thinking about food, shopping for food, cooking food, eating our food, and sometimes just complaining about our food, craving other food, and looking forward to the next time we eat again. We eat a lot, don't we? And your notes, if you read your notes I got in there, if you live to be 70 years old, an average person eats 150,000 pounds of food. Seems like a lot. Every single one of us, every year, eats a ton of food. 150,000 pounds in 70 years, and I'm over 70 now. So guess what? I'm on the gaining side here. Most of us here have already thought about what we're going to eat for lunch today. At least wondered, what am I going to do for lunch, you know? We're here today talking about something so important because we live in a nation that has more than enough food. Debbie was mentioning about Braxton, that sometimes we waste food. You know, all of us do. We've got so much in our nation that we don't eat it all. I remember as a boy, my mom telling me, "Eat your food because there's kids in China starving." I said, "Well, Ma, they can have this if they want it." Well, that got me a hit in the ear, you know. Nothing fights against our flesh like a fast. And I know people don't like to hear too much about fasting, but the word fast, when you think about fast, some of you are thinking about the race this afternoon, a NASCAR race, where those cars are going around that track 200 miles an hour. That's fast. And others of you may be thinking about your paycheck that you got on Friday, and it's almost gone. It's fast, going away. But when we think about a fast from food, most of us don't even like to think about such a prospect. Why would I not eat breakfast and lunch and dinner for a day or 2 days or 3 days or a week? Why in the world would any sane person do such a thing? When we think about a fast from food, we think, well, that's crazy. Why would anybody ever do such a thing? Fasting is only done by legalistic Christians, right? Fanatical Christians fast, but most of us, no way. Super fanatical Christians, but not a normal Jesus-loving hamburger-eating Christian is going to think about a fast. Well, we need to look at what Jesus says about fasting. Because what Jesus said is fasting is a normal part of every Christian's life, or it should be. I want to just review a few things out of Matthew 6. We're going to go to Matthew 6:1 first and look at normal parts of Christian daily living. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. So giving and meeting the needs of the poor is to be a constant part of every Christian's life. You ought to have, and I've said this many times in this church, I do not believe in storehouse tithing where the tithe comes into the church. In other words, 10% of your income comes to your local church. It's preached by a lot of really good preachers, and I honor them for that. That's what they believe. I believe every Christian, the Bible says, lay up in store by yourself on the first day of every week. What does that mean? That means that you are to have a kitty. Obviously, some money has to come into the church or the church can't keep functioning. But not all your giving ought to go to a local church. You ought to have some money set aside. I don't care how old or how young. I don't care how much you make or how little you make. You ought to have something set aside that the Lord can tap you on the shoulder and say, I want you to help so-and-so. What a blessing it is to have it. To know that you've got a little kitty, it doesn't have to be thousands of dollars. It can be $5. Some people, $5 is a lot of money. It'll really help them. So you have it set aside, and when the Lord taps you, you've got it. It should be a normal part of every Christian's life to have money set aside that the Lord can use you anytime he wants to and say, okay, now's the time. Take what you have and give it to whatever he tells you to give it to. So every church I know of stresses Christians ought to be giving. I don't know any churches that don't preach that there ought to be regular giving to the Lord's work. The second thing, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. And when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who's unseen. Then your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they'll be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. I don't know of a single Christian church that doesn't preach every Christian ought to be a person of prayer. You ought to have a time in your life every day, probably 3 or 4 times a day, when you set aside your time to be alone with your God and pray. And that's normal. He says, when you do it. But every church stresses that. Now, I want you to skip down to Matthew 6:16. You're going to see exactly the same stress given to fasting. When you fast, he doesn't say if, he says when you do. Do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. If you're praying to get people's attention, the attention you get is all you're going to get. If you're giving so that others can see you're giving, that's all you're going to get. But if you do those things in secret, your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. And the same is true in fasting. He doesn't say if you fast, he says when you fast. There is no commandment in the New Testament for Christians to fast. And you might say, well, why is that? Because it's just assumed that you're going to. It's such an important part of life, we hardly ever hear anybody preach about fasting, but it's important that you understand it should be a normal part of every Christian's life. So we probably heard dozens of sermons on giving, dozens of sermons on prayer, but how many sermons have you heard about fasting? And it's a shame, because it's as important as the other two. When we don't fast, and I got to tell you, many, many Christians have never fasted, don't have any plans to fast. In fact, they don't like the idea of fasting. When we don't do that, we're robbing ourselves of some of God's greatest blessings in life. You might say, well, I don't know anything about fasting. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're here today, because you're going to learn quite a bit about fasting today, things maybe you've never thought of before. So, number one, what is God's purpose to ask his children to fast? Do you know the Bible talks about fasting 75 times? And you might say, well, 75, that doesn't seem very many times. The Bible's a pretty big book. Do you know the Bible talks more about fasting than it does about baptism? And we really stress baptism. The Bible talks more about fasting than it does about taking communion. And we really stress communion. But hardly any churches ever stress fasting for their people. So you might look at the Old Testament and you'll see that Moses fasted. You'll see that David fasted. Elijah fasted. Queen Esther fasted. Daniel fasted. You say, well, Pastor, that's all Old Testament. Yes, it is. But when you get to the New Testament, guess who else fasted? John the Baptist fasted. The Apostle Paul fasted. And the entire church leadership fasted. And our Lord Jesus fasted 40 days and 40 nights. I don't encourage you to fast 40 days and 40 nights. Most of us wouldn't make it. Jesus had to be a very strong man to do that. But I do encourage you to fast. How could something so clearly outlined in Scripture be totally ignored by God's church? Fasting is an important thing. I believe it's because our culture is food saturated. We love food as a nation. And the Lord has blessed us so much that we have more than enough for everybody in our nation. Now, I know some people don't have enough, but it's because some of the rest of us are so selfish we don't share. But I want to tell you, we've got more than enough. Many sincere, well-intended Christians who don't drink, don't chew, and don't go with girls that do, never fast. And they wonder, why don't I have power in my life to overcome the temptations of life? Why are not my children walking with the Lord? Why did I lose my job? Why has this happened? It may very well be the Lord's trying to get your attention. In the Old Testament, the word used for fasting means to close the mouth. You just seal it up. You don't open it up to eat. In the New Testament, the word used for fasting means to eat no food. And it's a very simple thing. If you close your mouth, you are not going to eat any food. And so fasting is simply closing your mouth to things that could be very pleasant and saying, no, I have to seek after my God. Christian fasting makes a difference, and it has a purpose attached. It's more than just closing your mouth. Every time in the Scriptures where you see the word fasting, it always includes the word prayer right next to it. Fasting, spiritual Christian fasting, is not just not eating food. That's a diet. We're not going on a diet. The purpose of Christian fasting is to seek more intimacy with our Lord and clearer direction from our Lord. So, fasting we're talking about is not going without food for a certain period of time. Again, that's a diet. We're not talking about striving to make a political statement. That's a hunger strike. We're not doing that. It's not denying yourself because you weigh 98 pounds and think you look awful fat. That's anorexia. That's not what we're doing. We're talking about an intentional time in your life of going without food for a certain period of time to seek God's face, to become intimate with your Lord, to deal with what's going on in your life. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 16, again it says, when you fast, Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to us. He doesn't say again, if you fast or should you ever fast. He says, when you do, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. The reason for that is because all they want is the attention of others. They're not fasting unto God. They're fasting so that others will see how spiritual they are. I can't tell you how many people I work with in the shop that said, pray for me, I'm fasting. I'm just awful shape. Folks, they got the attention they want. They want you to know they're fasting. God says, don't ever do that. When you fast, don't tell anybody. Now, you might have to tell your wife because she's going to make you a nice meal and you're going to say, I'm not eating. That could cause a little trouble. But if you tell her ahead of time for the next day or two, I'm not going to be eating. You don't have to cook big meals. But you don't tell everybody else. This is between you and your God. He says, when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face. Don't look like you're fasting. Let it be secret between you and your God. The Pharisees would make their faces look pale. They'd actually put on makeup with a whiter shade so they'd look real haggard. They wouldn't keep their hair up. They'd look awful. So that people would say, well, priest, what's wrong? Well, I'm in the third day of a fast, and man, it's hard, and I'm doing the best I can to seek after God, but this is awful. Folks, the Lord says, never, ever do that. You've got the attention of men that you wanted, but you are not going to get the attention of God when you do that. When you fast, make yourself look good. Have a cheery face on. Is it hard to fast? Yes, it is. But don't look like it's hard. You're seeking after God, not man. It's so important. So what we want to do in Matthew 6:18, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. Just as your giving is to be done in secret, just as your praying is to be done in secret, so your fasting should be done in secret as well. And when the Lord sees that your heart is seeking him, that your heart wants to draw near to him, the Bible says if a man draw nigh to God, God will draw nigh to that man. And so it's extremely important. We have a promise from God. I want to read verse 18 again. So it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is in heaven. And your Father who sees what's done in secret will reward you. You've got a promise there. A promise of God that if you will seek him in prayer and fasting, he will reward you. Now that doesn't always mean you're going to get what you want, but you're going to get God's best. And sometimes God's best is so much better than what we wanted. I can't encourage you enough to trust in this. Fasting is not about food, it's about focus. We spend so much time seeking and hunting and cooking and eating that oftentimes we don't take the time to really seek after our God. Can you imagine what a day would be like, especially the gals here? A whole day goes by, you haven't shopped for any food, you haven't cooked any food, you haven't eaten any food, and you've got all that time to focus on your God. That's what fasting is about. How many hours do we spend a day preparing food, eating food, cleaning up after we eat the food? Imagine if you just took one day or 2 days and said for the next day or the next 2 days, I'm not eating anything. I'm not preparing anything. I'm not shopping for anything. I am going to seek my God. Would it make a difference in a life, do you suppose? Suppose you did that once a month. Wow, that could turn life upside down. Every day, we're thinking about food. Whether you think you are or not, we love food. And nothing wrong with food. God said he's given us all things richly to enjoy. You ought to enjoy food. Food is wonderful. But food sometimes takes up so much of our time that we don't take time to seek after our God. And what the Lord is telling us is when we do fast, don't make a big show of it. Nobody but you and your wife maybe ought to know that you're even fasting. Now, if you are fasting, probably your kids are going to know. Because I'll tell you one of the things that fasting does. It brings out your sin nature quicker than anything. Remember a few years ago I taught you on halt? These are warnings, the word halt, H-A-L-T. When you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and when you're tired. Those are things that will bring out the flesh quicker than anything. And when you're hungry, the first word on halt is hungry, your sin nature is going to leap up. It isn't as if the fast is creating the anger or the bitterness, but it just comes up out of you because it's been there. It's been dormant because you've taken care of it with food and drink and all the rest of it. But if you honestly fast, you're going to find yourself being an angry person. You're going to get moody. You have to learn how to control that. Because again, you want to do this so that God is glorified and you're edified and others don't even know what's going on. Don't be surprised when you fast, maybe for the first time in your life, that you say, man, I didn't realize I had that in myself. The anger, the bitterness will come up and it'll reveal sin that you haven't dealt with yet. In Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. In our nation, even as Christians, we are not in the habit of denying ourselves at all. And we wonder why in other nations do Christians seem to be so joyous? Oftentimes it's because even without their choice, they have to deny themselves. We're used to three meals a day, plus snacks, plus treats. In many nations, they may only get one bowl of rice the entire day. That's it. And so they're used to fasting, not by choice, but simply because there's not enough food. In Psalm 109, verse 22, David describes, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. I fade away like an evening shadow. I'm shaken off like a locust. My knees give way from fasting. My body is thin and gaunt. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they shake their heads. Help me, Lord my God. Save me according to your unfailing love. Let them know that it's your hand, that you, Lord, have done it. When you fast, if others do hear, and not by your own mouth, hopefully, but if they do hear your fasting, they're going to scorn you. This is foolishness in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord says the things that are foolish to men are extremely important to God. Fasting is foolishness to most people. Our Lord, if you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you have to learn to deny yourself. And this is one of the easiest ways to do that. When I miss breakfast, I'm in trouble because I love breakfast. It gets me going. It gets the blood sugars up. It gives me the energy for the day. And so for me to miss breakfast is really a sacrifice. And many of you don't eat breakfast at all, so no big deal. But maybe for you it's the dinner meal, the last meal of the day. Maybe you really love that. When you put away things you really love to really seek after God, guess what God does? God reveals himself. It's so important we understand that. This practice of denying ourselves is commanded in the scriptures over and over. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone who's running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I've preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Who's in charge of your body? Is it your hunger or is it your choice? When our bodies, many of us, our body says, man, that malted milk and that hamburger, that looks good. I want it now. And so we just go and do it. What would happen to your body? What would happen to your temperament? What would happen to your spiritual walk if you said, no, body, we're not doing that. You are not my master. I am the master of you. For the next day, I'm not going to eat anything. I'm going to seek after my God. Fasting gives an opportunity to look into the spiritual mirror of your life. God will reveal what's really going on inside of you while you're fasting for his glory. Now, a fast just not eating. I want to warn you about that. A lot of people think, well, I'll just go on a fast for a day and I won't eat. Well, what are you going to do with your time? If you're not busy seeking after God in that time, you're on the computer playing your little games, you're thinking about food, you're wanting the food more than anything, guess what you've done? You've wasted your fast. But if when you're fasting from food, you're seeking God with all your heart, you'll find him. The Bible says you'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. And nothing will give you more focus than a fast. It'll get your attention real quick. Most of us have food as an idol. Just as a matter of thought about that, if today you're here and you're hearing this message on fasting, and you say to yourself, I've never fasted and I never will fast, guess what your God is? It's food. And many people have food as a God. They don't know it, but they worship that more than they worship the Lord. When the Lord says, when you fast, he's saying, my children are going to fast. And you say, not me, brother. You got a problem. God's power is found in our fasting. So the benefits of fasting. Fasting strengthens my prayer life. One of the things that fasting will do, it'll get your attention that this is why I'm fasting. When you go on a fast, there should be a reason. There should be something compelling you to seek after God. When that thing compels you, maybe it's for our nation. Next week, I'm going to challenge this church next week. Between July 1st and July 8th, I want to challenge you. You don't have to take it if you don't want to. But we're challenging people to spend at least one day fasting, praying for this nation. Your nation is in trouble, whether you know it or not. What happens if this nation doesn't turn back to God? What kind of life do you think your grandchildren are going to have? Can you see this nation walking away from God? And don't you think that's going to affect them? Is it worth one day to say, Lord, with all my heart, with all my strength, I'm going to seek your face. I want to see this nation come back in revival. I want to see your church come alive with power. It's a challenge that's coming next week. So fasting helps our prayer. It's not about being hungry for food. Fasting is about being hungry for God. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Can you imagine being filled with the Spirit of God? Because instead of chasing after food, you've decided the next day or two you're going to chase after your God. Folks, that's what he's talking about. It's an extremely important thing. When Ezra, he was a priest in the Old Testament, was about to lead a group of exiles from Babylon back to Jerusalem. He had told the king, King, God takes care of those of his people. Well, you're going to go 900 miles through the wilderness with all kinds of dangers, and they were going to do it without any soldiers going with them. It says in Ezra chapter 8, verse 21, there by the Ava Canal, I proclaimed a fast, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask Him for a safe journey for us and our children with all our possessions. I was ashamed to ask the king for soldiers and horsemen to protect us from enemies on the road, because we had told the king, the gracious hand of our God is on everyone who looks to Him, but His great anger is against all who forsake Him. So we fasted and petitioned our God about this, and He answered our prayers. Can you imagine going on a pilgrimage of 900 miles across the wilderness with nothing to protect you? You've got your children, you've got your animals, there are bandits along the way, and Ezra proclaimed a fast. Will God always answer the fast exactly the way we want it? No, He will not. If you think that you can fast and change God's mind about something that's against His will, you're fasting for the wrong reason. God will never do anything against His will. And so fasting isn't to twist the arm of God to get something we want. Fasting is seeking the heart of God. What does God want? So if you have a major decision to make, you know, like I said, I'm going to challenge you next week to go on a fast one day, any of those 7 days, any of them, for that reason, for our nation. Our nation needs a revival. But maybe you've got a different decision you need to fast about. Maybe you've got a child that's walking away from the Lord and doing it deliberately. Is it worth a fast of a day or two to intercede with your God for your son, your daughter, your grandson, granddaughter? It may very well be. Maybe you're about to lose your job. For no good reason, they're just letting you go. Would a fast be important to say, Lord, I'm going to need some income here. I need some help here. Fasting in all those situations, there's 100 different reasons to do it. Maybe you need a clear word of God of what's next in your life. We all go through life and we hit those points where we're at a transition. Sometimes we know exactly what God wants. Other times we have no idea what He wants. Would it be a good idea to fast and seek God's will for that next step in your life? Folks, you're going to have some more transitions. We're not done yet, and so there are things that we need a clear insight from God what His will is. Maybe you're a young person, and you're just about done with high school, and you're wondering, Lord, what would you have me do with the rest of the days of my life? Would it be worth a day or two fast to find out God's plan for your life? Imagine that. God telling you exactly what He made you for, exactly what that next step is, and what your life is going to turn out to be. He will, and He has. I can't encourage you enough. Take the time. Fasting doesn't make God's voice louder. Fasting opens our ears to hear what He's saying. God is speaking all the time. It's just that we don't have ears to hear. Fasting will bring you into intimacy with your God. Fasting feeds our spirit. When I ignore my physical hunger to feed my spiritual hunger, it increases the power of prayer in my life. Food is a gift from God, but Satan loves to twist everything God does. What was the first sin of mankind? It was eating something that was forbidden by God. That's why Jesus Christ, when He came to this earth, the first Adam failed in eating something that God said, don't eat. The second Adam, Jesus Christ, came to this earth, and the Bible says after He was baptized by John, the Holy Spirit pushed Him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. He went 40 days and 40 nights without eating anything. And the Bible makes kind of a quaint little statement. It says at the end of those 40 days and 40 nights, He was in hungered. Do you think after 40 days, just a little hungry? Satan comes along and he says to Jesus, if you're the Lord, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus gives him an answer. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now, I've never fasted 40 days. I'm not planning on trying it because I don't think I could make it. But an amazing thing, the second Adam, Jesus Christ, succeeded in where the first Adam totally failed. Food like any other temptation, it can be used of Satan. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God,'" not because you are the Son of God, but "if you really are, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Apparently, it was not God's time for that fast to be over yet. Now, afterwards, he ate. But God's word is the bread of life. That's what the Bible says. You can seek physical bread, or you can seek spiritual bread. What are you going to put first? So, how hungry are you today? And I'm not talking about food. How hungry are you today to really know your God? To really know his will for your life, to really seek the power of God to change some situations of life. We're desperate for that breakthrough. Maybe in your life you're at a crossroads and you need a breakthrough. Maybe fasting is that final step that'll put you over the edge. In James chapter 4, verse 8, the Lord says, "Come near to God and he'll come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Charles Stanley, one of the great preachers of our day, said, "Never in the Bible do you ever see any instance where the people of God humbled themselves, repented and prayed and fasted. Not one instance did God fail to respond in a supernatural way." Think of that. Study it. Look at the times people fasted. God never failed to bring a good result. Do you think he's going to fail in your life when you honestly fast to him in secret for his glory, for the knowledge you need to live a holy life? If you try to fast and say, "Lord, I want a new Cadillac, so I'm going to fast today because I want a new Cadillac," forget it. It's not going to work. But when you say, "Lord, I want to know your will for the rest of the days of my life. I want to know what's next. Maybe not the whole picture, but what's the best choice next?" God will never fail you. He'll reveal what you need to know. Fasting reveals my sin. When I get hungry, I get grouchy. I don't know about you. Now, the grouchiness is already there, but it isn't revealed until I get hungry. It'll reveal what's in your heart, and we need to know what's in our heart in order to make it right. Fasting draws spiritual toxins to the surface, the things that are within us that need to be revealed. God will reveal them when you fast. You'll know right away, this is something I've got to work on. All throughout the scriptures, when the people of Israel and the people of God sinned, they turned to God and fast and pray, and God would restore the nation. Our nation is in bad shape. We need godly people to fast and to pray for this nation. In 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 5, "Then Samuel said, 'Assemble all Israel at Mizpah, and I will intercede with the Lord for you.' When they had assembled at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out before the Lord. On that day they fasted, and there they confessed, 'We sinned against the Lord.' Now Samuel was serving as leader of Israel at Mizpah." When we fast and we pray and we repent, our God goes to work. A wonderful promise found about fasting is in Joel chapter 2 and verse 12. "Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity." Our Lord does not want to bring calamity on this nation. But if we will not turn, he's going to. We need to turn as a nation. Weeping and mourning over what? Over our sin and our disobedience. All of us have sinned. It isn't just those wicked Democrats. There's wicked Republicans too, aren't there? There's wicked people in the churches. There's wickedness all around us. It's in our hearts. And so we need a cleansing. And repentance and prayer and fasting is a wonderful place to start. In Matthew chapter 17, verse 14, it says, when they came to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he's a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could we not cast him out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But here's the key. Howbeit this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. He's talking about a particular demon type. And the only way he's going out is by prayer and by fasting. What does that mean that Jesus was doing there before this happened? Jesus was in a fast. We got it recorded. He went on that 40-day fast. But fasting was a normal part of Jesus' life. And when the demon needed to be driven out, Jesus was ready because he fasted. Folks, there's power in prayer, especially power in prayer given with fasting. I can't encourage you enough in this. If we're more sensitive to the people around us, we talk about eating, eating, eating all the time. But when you fast, you get really sensitive to those people around our world. Do you know half of the inhabitants on this earth go to bed hungry every single night? Half the people. We have more than enough. It'll make you more sensitive. God's plan for our fasting. The old saying is, if you don't have a plan, nothing's going to happen. You have to have a time set. You have to have a purpose set. Going on a fast just to go on a fast and pray isn't going to get you very far. But when the Lord lays a burden on your heart and you have a son or daughter, you have a job loss, you have a health loss, you have a wife, like next door, actively dying, fasting. You've got a reason to fast. I can't encourage you enough. Set a time. We're going to challenge you next week to set just one day, 24-hour fast. If you can't fast from food, and some people can't, nothing wrong with that. The Bible has different areas where you can fast from different things. I'll talk to the men here. The Bible says, husbands, you can fast along with your wife as long as it's agreed upon ahead of time from no sexual activity for the next amount of time because you're going to give yourself to prayer. And all the men said, hey, can't we just go back to food? Don't want to hear that second part. But that is something that God allows, a period of time where we're going to abstain from sex totally for the next day, 2 days, 3 days, because we're going to give ourselves to prayer and fast. Folks, it can be done. Other people might fast. I'll just challenge the young people here. Maybe it's time for a fast from the computer and the cell phone. Can you imagine 24 hours without texting somebody or accepting a text? I don't think I can live. It couldn't possibly be done. But imagine the time you spend on that phone and on that computer every single day if you actually gave that time to prayer to your God. Folks, there's so many different things we can fast from that are pleasing to the flesh, but they hinder our prayer life. They take away the power. So I just want to encourage you to get at it. We need to discern the spiritual reason. Why are we fasting? Regardless of what you give up, just to give something up for no reason doesn't make any sense. But if you really want to know the heart of God, that's a good reason. I really want to know what's next in my life. I really want to overcome this sin. Do you know, they tell us 80% of men are addicted to pornography? 80%. I hope that shocks you. Today in Sunday school, I was shocked when Mary said that in our nation, 50% of the bees are gone. They're not there. They've died off. I hope that shocks you, but 80% of men are locked into pornography, a regular habit. Is that worthy of a fast, maybe? Maybe a long fast? Folks, we've got sin problems in our lives, and we wonder, why don't we have the power to overcome these things? It could be because we've never fasted about it. We've never asked God. We've never gotten serious with God. In any area, it isn't just sex either. It can be food, can be an object of worship. The gambling. So many people, I can't tell you how many people I know that have lost houses, lost families, because they cannot control their gambling. It's all around us. Just a few years ago, the only place you could really go to gamble was Las Vegas, or out at, was it Atlantic City, I think, was the other option. And now our states are promoting gambling with these lotteries and all the rest. And who's getting hurt? It's the poor people. That poor guy, that poor gal that says, man, if I ever hit that lottery, I'm really going to be a happy camper. But when the lotteries first came out, Reader's Digest did an article on it. And 70% of the people that won the lottery made shipwreck in life. Having huge sums of money all at once isn't all it's cracked up to be. We need to dedicate extra time to prayer. And don't give up. When you start a fast, whether it's a day or 2 days or 3 days, it's awful tempting when you're in about the fifth or sixth hour, you've missed breakfast, now you've missed lunch. Man, this is getting serious. Don't give up. If you agreed with the Lord that you're going to do it for a day, do it for a day. If you've agreed with the Lord, you're going to do it 2 days. Stick with it. I know it's not easy. If you do three, you're going to find yourself really in trouble. But I can't encourage you enough. You need to get serious with God. You need to get serious with what's going on in your life, seeking the heart of your God.